بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 19th session, reading from Bawa'ith, Al-Khalas من الذنوب, يعني the ways and means that will help and enable a person to escape from sins. The text is from Al-Imam شمس الدين أبو عبد الله محمد ابن أبي بكر الدمشقي الحنبلي, better known as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. And the commentary here is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, we're going to be taking the 19th, next to the last of the Bawa'ith, those ways and means that enable a person to escape from sinning. Before we look at the 19th point, we want to just quickly review some of the points that we covered last week. First question from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 18, summarize the 18th ba'if, the 18th motivational factor as presented by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. Any that adu? Now,
clearing the landscape of which is the heart and making way of for the rain of the mercy of Allah.
Clearing the landscape where you're going to plant, meaning the heart in this case, so that you can make the way for the rain of the mercy of Allah to descend. Now, anybody want to add to that anything? Clearing the landscape and also? Now, Talib.
Planting that which is good.
Okay, planting that which is good. And then protecting it and making sure that you remove the harmful weeds so that what you are planting will be able to grow, yani, have a complete growth. Now, the second question, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, the similitude of this is like a man who prepares his land. Like a man who prepares his land. Now, what was the completion of what he said? Now,
it's like a man prepares his land. Primes it for planting and vegetation.
Uh huh.
And he seeks and waits for the rain to fall, and he clears it. He preps it properly.
Preps it properly. Plants the seeds, and then he waits for the rain to descend. Now, meaning that a person has to make some effort, right? If you want something to grow, then you have to do some work first. You have to clear the land, you have to till the land, cultivate the land, plant the seeds, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, allows the rain to descend. Yani, in the end of it all, the success is with Allah. The third question, this is like, yani, this similitude of the man planting something in the earth, this is like the servant, the abd, who purifies his heart and removes from it what? And sows in it the seeds of what? Ibn Qayyim said. Huh? He removes from his heart evil intentions and evil thoughts. Evil intentions and evil thoughts. And he plants the seeds of
remembrance.
Al dhikr and al fikr and
reflection.
Huh? Reflection. Fikr and Mahabba, mahabba, love and ikhlas, sincerity. Now, these are some of the things that a person should be planting, yani, in the heart, so that the shajaratul iman, the tree of faith, will grow. Question number four, if the servant was to clean the area, prepare it and rectify it, yani, fix it and make it ready for growth, then he would witness what? And Al-Qayyim says that he would what? If he does what he's supposed to do, what will happen? Yeah.
Remarkable things will happen.
He will see, yani, al-ajaib. Remarkable, amazing things, yani, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do our part, then Allah is rich. And he gives freely. And he doesn't hold back. Question number five. This is because nothing can prevent the fadl, the grace and favor of Allah, except something that is found within the servant himself. Except what? What is it that prevents the favors of Allah and he being given to a person? Huh?
Sins and disobedience.
Sins and disobedience. Yani the obstacle, yani what prevents the favors of Allah from reaching him is the obstacle or the obstacles that are within his own self. Yani his sins, disobedience to Allah and the things that are displeasing to Allah is what, yani, makes a barrier from him receiving the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 6. Discuss the example mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim of a vast river that waters every land. And in the end of he said, the landowner complains about drought in his land. What was the example that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, Abdul Wali, Allahu Akbar.
This man hasn't prepared to receive the fadl of Allah by removing the harmful things that surround it. And when it doesn't come, he only complains.
Okay, he's a person who hasn't removed those harmful things that prevent growth or that prevent, yani, the descent of the mercy of Allah, the rain of Allah's rahmah. Ibn Qayyim said that a great river is flowing. It's watering every land that it passes. His land is not getting watered. And he's wondering why his land is not getting watered. It's because there's a barrier between the river and his land. And he has to remove that barrier. And those barriers are the barriers from himself. His disobedience to Allah. The sins that he commits that, yani, are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 7. Mentioned the three words summary of the Shaykh for this ba'ith. Yani he summarized this ba'ith in three words. And also the three things that must be removed from the heart. Yani that's mentioned by the Shaykh. Naam. How did he summarize this ba'ith? Yani we explained it as what? As a land that has to be cleared. And that harmful growth on that land has to be removed. Yani in order for the rain to descend and in order for the whatever you're growing, in order for it to grow properly. So how has the Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Razak, how has he summarized this particular ba'ith? Naam, Talib.
Clear the heart from all filth, to attend to one's divan, and keep it free from sin, and hasten to repentance.
Yes, this is some of what he mentioned, but he entitled this particular point with just three words in Arabic. Three words. Who knows what those three words are? Somebody is reading this book in Arabic. Somebody is reading this book in Arabic. What are the three words that Shaykh Abdul Razak mentioned as the title for this particular ba'ith? Three words. At-takhliya. Qabla.
Qabla.
At-takhliya. Qabla tahliya. And this is principle number 5 from Al-Qawaid Al-Ashra fi Tazkiyat Al-Nafs. And we're going to be taking this principle again in 2 days. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, inshallah. The details of this principle. Yani at-takhliya, the removal of that which has to be removed. Yani qabla at-tahliya, before adorning oneself with that which, yani, is of good, the acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the three things that Shaykh Abdul Razak mentioned that has to be removed from the heart, he mentioned three categories of things that a Muslim has to beware of. The first of them, the most important of them, is the removal of shirk. Shirk. That's the most important thing that a person has to escape from. And the second of them he mentioned, which is the second most important thing. Before ma'asi, somebody said?
Bid'ah.
And this discussion we probably had at some point and may have in the future again. Why is bid'ah more dangerous than sins? Yani than regular sins. And then the last one he mentioned is? Yani ma'asi. Naam. The last question summarized the first 18 bawa'ith mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim. Summary. Number one. And it is important, yani, that we continuously review, and on your own, yani, hopefully each of you will continue to review these points so that they are in the forefront of our mind, so that we can try to implement them in our lives. These are the things that will help us to avoid engaging in acts of disobedience to Allah. Number one, recognizing the the exaltedness, the greatness, the magnificence of Allah, that He deserves to be obeyed. Number two. Now, Samia. Samia? MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Got it this time. The love of Allah. Mahabbatullah. That a person, Yani's love of Allah, will be a motivating factor for them to be obedient to Allah and not disobey Him. Number three. Number three, Adil.
Consciousness of the favors of Allah and the anger that one may...
That's one or two? Okay, first, the favors of Allah, naam. Yani recognizing, acknowledging Allah's favors, His multiple unlimited favors, due to which we should return, yani in exchange, obedience to Him. And number four, the anger and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who disobey Him. Number five, the great loss, fawat al-khayr wal-fadl. Yani the great loss that a person is going to experience due to their disobedience to Allah. Yani the favors that Allah had for them, yani they will be deprived of it due to their disobedience. Number six.
Suppressing one's desire.
Yani the ladha, yani the pleasure, the joy of suppressing one's desires and for overcoming shaitan. That's number five?
Six.
Number seven? Ewad. Naam, the compensation. Yani recognizing that the person who gives up something that's displeasing to Allah will be compensated by Allah with that which is greater than that enjoyment or that pleasure that they were yani inclined to engage in that is displeasing to Allah. The iwad, yani compensation that Allah gives to one who gives up sin and instead obeys Him. Naam, number? I don't know what number we're on. Samia. Eight? The ma'iyya. Ma'iyyatullah al-khasa. Yani the great station of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ma'iyya. That Allah will be with that person, will protect them and guide them and provide for them and defend them and so on. Because of their, yani, abandoning, disobedience to Him. Number nine. Yani being conscious and aware and having fear of the imminent approach of death. That death is near. That a person may die at any time and not have a chance to rectify yani their life. Naam. Naam.
The calamity of sins.
The calamity of sins. Yani al-bala, yani mashhad al-bala wal-afiyah. That a person recognizes that true calamity is disobedience to Allah and true well-being is being in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 11.
Striving against the nafs.
Naam. Number 12. Huh? Repelling, yani, fighting against evil, the false evil thoughts, yani, that come from the within a person. Naam, that's number 12, 13.
Severing relationships.
Yani, distancing oneself from the causes that cause a person to comply and submit and follow their nafs. Naam, 14. Contemplating on the signs of Allah. Ayatullah al-matlu'a wal-makhluqa. Naam. 15.
The reality of the dunya.
The reality of the dunya. Yani that it is short-lived and quickly, yani, ending. 16. Samia.
To turn
to Allah. Yani to... From the greatest means of avoiding sin is that a person recognize that Allah is the one who controls every affair. That He controls the hearts and He controls everything. He is the one that we need to turn to ask for His help, to protect us, yani, from the evil of ourselves and from the evil of shaitan and from the evil of evil companionship. Now, that's what, number 16, 17. Recognition that there are opposing forces within every human being, pulling him in two opposite directions. And when a person knows that, he should submit and surrender and comply with the force that is pulling him to good and resist and fight against the forces that are pulling him to evil. That's number 17, 18. Last week's purification before adornment. That we have to purify the heart first and then adorn it with those things that are means of nearness to Allah and earning His pleasure. And is that it? 18, huh? Yeah, 18. I'm getting ready to go to 19. Okay, alhamdulillah, mashallah. So I just want to remind us just quickly that we are near the end of this book, and that each of these things that we have covered are equally important, and that we need every one of them, and more than that. And so it's important upon, and it's incumbent upon us, and it's important for us to, and he tried to review these matters, to read through them, to reflect upon them, and to share them with others, and then ask Allah to give us the success to implement them in our real lives. Point number 19 from the text, and again, like we have mentioned in every session pretty much, and the text of this book is in the back of the book. The translation and the Arabic text for the book is in the back of the book, so we're going to be reading from page 67 and 68, while the commentary in the English translation is in the front of the book. We're going to read from the English translation first, and then we're going to go to the Arabic text. So from the English translation on page 67 and 68, it is mentioned that Ibn Qayyim, yani the meaning of his words, is that the 19th ba'ith, or the 19th yani way or means of helping a person to avoid and distance themselves from sin is that a person knows, to have knowledge, to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the servant for eternal existence without conclusion. That doesn't end. Yani a life that has no end to it in paradise. He has created the servant for eternal existence without conclusion. Honor void of disgrace. Yani that the human being should be honored and not disgraced. Security without fear. Affluence without poverty. Delight void of pain. And perfection free of defect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being for this, yani for these things that will be given to the one who believes and does good deeds and seeks Allah's forgiveness and His mercy. That a person would be given an eternal life that wouldn't end, honor, security, affluence, delight, and perfection. Then he says, but he tests him in this world with life, a life that quickly comes to an end, and with honor that's accompanied by disgrace and followed by disgrace, and with security mixed with fear and followed by trepidation. The same can be said about affluence, enjoyment, happiness, joy, and comfort. All of them are tarnished, yani are polluted in this world with their opposites, and succeeded, followed by their opposites. And they disappear quickly. The majority of the creation, most of the people, err in this matter. And in what matter? In realizing that Allah has created us for a perfect life. And He is testing us in this world with an imperfect life. And most of the people, yani, err in this matter. As they seek bliss and eternity and honor and power and dominion and position in the wrong place. Yani it should be sought in the hereafter by worshipping Allah and being obedient to Him in this world to have those things in the hereafter. So they seek it in the wrong place. So they miss out on it. They miss out on these things in their rightful place. Yani because they were occupied and distracted with seeking those things in this world, then they will miss out on it in the next life. So they miss out on these things in their rightful place. The majority of them do not successfully attain what they are seeking for. And those who, it should say, those who do only achieve a brief enjoyment which vanishes quickly. And even those who might attain wealth, who might attain position or power, influence, respect in this world, it's temporary and it vanishes quickly. The messengers of Allah, alayhi wasalam, came with the call to eternal comfort and to the great kingdom. Whoever responds to them, to the messengers, alayhi wasalam, will receive the greatest enjoyment of this world and the most pleasant of what exists therein, yani in this world. His life in this world is more pleasant than the life of the kings and anyone else, yani less than them. Indeed, abstention, yani a zuhud, in this life is an existing dominion, yani a real kingdom. This is something that the devil envies the believer for, with the greatest envy. And he, the shaitan, strives in every way possible to deprive the believer of this. If the servant controls his desires and anger, and if they, yani his desires and his anger, yield to the call of the religion, yani to the caller, the da'iyah that calls to worshipping Allah, then he is a true king. Yani the servant, the abd, who controls his desires and his anger, becomes a king, a real king. This is because the possessor of this dominion, yani the one who observes zuhud, who doesn't allow themselves to be attached to the things of this world, yani who suffice with what is necessary in this world, focusing on seeking the greater things of the next life. This person, this is because the person who abstains, who doesn't allow their heart to be attached to this world, is the possessor of, or the possessor of this dominion is free. Yani is free, is not a slave and independent. Whereas the king, yani who might be ruling over the people, who surrenders to his desires and anger, is a captive, is an abd, actually, of his lust, desires, and anger. So in reality, that king who has submitted and surrendered to his desires and his anger, in reality is a subservient subject in the attire, yani dressed like a king, but who is being steered, controlled, directed by the reins of lust and anger as a camel is led. Ibn Qayyim closes by saying, the person who is deceived and deluded, yani, because of not recognizing the reality of what Allah has prepared for the people in the next life, as opposed to what He has tested us with in this world, the people who are deceived and deluded focus, or the person who is deceived and deluded focuses his sight solely upon the visible dominion, the things that he sees in front of him, which appears like a kingdom, but in reality is nothing more than slavery. And he focuses upon the lust that initially are pleasurable, but in the end are regretful. On the other hand, the astute and successful individual changes the focus of his vision from the beginnings to the end, and from the causes to the consequences. And this, yani the person who sees it like this, is from the grace of Allah, which He grants to whomever He wishes, and Allah is the owner of great bounty. So this is what yani has been translated here in the translation of this 19th Ba'ith. And as we mentioned previously, the commentary of the Shaykh that's in the translation is meanings are pretty much similar, but the actual text is a little bit different. So we're going to actually first read the Arabic text for this principle, and then we'll follow it with the Shaykh's commentary that came in the English translation, and then the Shaykh's commentary that came in the Arabic text. So as far as the actual words of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, it is mentioned in the Arabic text of this book on page 52. On page 52, قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله التاسع عشرة يعني the 19th بعث أن يعلم العبد أن الله سبحانه خلقه لبقاء لا فناء له. يعني the 18th بعث or 19th بعث is that the abd, yani the human being, the worshipper of Allah, must know that Allah has created him for an eternal existence, unending existence that has no end. He has created him لِعِزٍ لَا ذُلَّ مَعْهُ, yani to be honored in such a way that there is no disgrace with it. وَأَمْنٍ لَا خَوْفَ فِيهِ, and a security in which there is no fear at all. وَغَنَاءٍ لَا فَقْرَ مَعْهُ, and a richness or affluence which doesn't include with it any poverty. وَلَذَّةٍ لَا عَلَمْ مَعْهَا, and a delight that doesn't include any pain. وَكَمَالٍ لَا نَقْصَ فِيهِ, and a perfection that doesn't include in it any imperfection. Yani, this is a reality that the abd must know, that Allah has created us for this eternal, unending existence in paradise, honor, security, affluence, delight, and perfection in the next life. Knowing this is the first point. And then he says, وَامْتَحَنَهُ فِي هَذِهِ الدَّارِ بِبَقَاءِ الَّذِي يَسْرَعُ إِلَيْهِ الْفَنَاءُ. But Allah has tested the human being in this world with an existence, a life that ends quickly, that will end quickly. يَسْرَعْ إِلَيْهِ الْفَنَاءَ وَلَعِزْ الَّذِي يُقَارِنُهُ الظُّلُ وَيَعَقُبُهُ الظُّلُ. And in honor, yani the human being has been tested in this world with the possibility of having some honor, but that honor is accompanied by disgrace and it is followed by disgrace. Yani disgrace in this world and disgrace in the next life. وَالْأَمْنَ الَّذِي مَاهُ خَوْفٌ. And a state of security, yani that there's no fear with it. And also an affluence or a richness that, yani, happiness and joy and bliss. الَّذِي هُنَا مَشُوبٌ بِضِدِّهِ. Yani, this happiness and this joy and this delight in this world, yani, is polluted and tarnished with the opposite of it. وَيَتَعَقَّبُهُ بِدُّهُ. And it is also pursued, yani, immediately followed by its opposite. Yani, the happiness and the joy and the bliss and the delight, yani, it is accompanied or it is polluted, it is tarnished by the opposite of it, and it is also followed by it. وَهُوَ السَّرِيُّ الزَّوَالُ. And it will quickly end. It will quickly cease. Yani, this is the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the human being in. That a person needs to know that whatever we are seeking in this world, it is temporary. Or we could say in simple words that it is both, yani, imperfect, and it is also, yani, not permanent. Whereas in the next life, that which Allah has in store for the believer is both perfect and it is permanent. And there is a clear difference between the two. Yani, that which is permanent and that which is impermanent. And that which is perfect and that which is imperfect. Imam Ibn Qayyim says, فَغَلِطَ أَكْثَرُ الْخَلْقِ فِي هَذَا الْمَقَامِ إِذْ طَالَبُوا النَّعِيمِ وَالْبَقَاءِ وَالْعِزِّ وَالْمُلْكِ وَالْجَاهِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ فَفَاتَهُمْ فِي مَحَلِّهِ. Yani, the mistake that most of the people have fallen into is that, yani, in this situation that is being described here, is that they sought the bliss, they sought the eternal life, they sought honor and dominion and position and authority in other than its proper place. They sought it in this world, and therefore they will miss out on it in its place, yani, the place where it should be sought, that is in the next life. وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لَمْ يَظْفَرْ بِمَا طَلَبَهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَالَّذِي ظَفَرَ بِهِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ. Most of the people didn't, yani, they were not successful in attaining that which they sought of the things of this world. And those who did attain it, then it will only be a brief, short enjoyment that will end quickly. ثُمَّ يَزُولُ عَنْهُ. And then, yani, will quickly end. والرسول عليهم السلام إنما جاءوا بالدعوة إلى النعيم المقيم والملك الكبير ومن أجابهم حصل له ألذ ما في الدنيا وأطيبه فكان عيشه فيها أطيب من عيش الملوك فمن دونهم فإن الزهد في الدنيا ملك حاضر. So the messengers, the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi salam, they came calling people to this eternal bliss, al-na'im al-muqim, yani that has no ending, yani in the next life, in the Jannah. And the great kingdom that Allah has in store for those who believe and do good deeds. So whoever responded to them, who answered their call, will have achieved the greatest enjoyment that there is in this world, and the best of what is available in this world. And therefore their life in this world will be more pleasant and would be better than the lives of kings and the lives of those who are less than kings. For indeed, as zuhud, yani abstinence, abstention, yani being satisfied with what Allah made lawful and being satisfied with that which a person needs and not being occupied and distracted and lost in seeking, yani, more than what a person is in need of. فَإِنَّ الزُّهُدْ فِي الدُّنْيَا مُلْكٌ حَاضِرٌ. For indeed, the person who satisfies themselves with that which Allah has made lawful and that which Allah has provided them with, without becoming a slave to seeking more than that, this person will have a kingdom that is a real kingdom. Yani, mulk haqiqi. And as a result of this, the shaitan, وَالشَّيْطَانُ يَحْسُدُ الْمُؤْمِنَ عَلَيْهِ أَعْظَمُ حَسَدٍ. So the shaitan has the greatest envy for the abd, yani who is satisfied and content with that which Allah has provided. The shaitan envies such a person with the greatest of envy. فَيَحْرِسُ كُلَّ الْحِرْسِ عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا يَصِلْ إِلَيْهِ. So he makes every effort, he strives and struggles to the best of his ability to prevent, to make sure that the worshipper of Allah doesn't achieve, yani that he doesn't reach this position. فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدِ إِذَا مَلَكَ شَهْوَتَهُ وَغَضَبَهُ فَانْقَابَ مَاهُ لِدَاعِي الدِّينِ فَهُوَ الْمَالِكُ فَهُوَ الْمَالِكُ حَقًّا. For indeed, the abd, the worshipper, or the slave who controls his desires and controls his anger, his emotions, and those things, his desires and his emotions and his anger, surrender, comply, and yield to the caller, calling to the deen, then he will be the king in reality. Yani the abd who controls his desires and his emotions will be the real king, as opposed to the king who is ruling over the people, the president and the prime minister and the rulers. لِأَنَّ صَاحِبْ هَذَا الْمُلْكِ حُرٌّ. And that is because the one who has this kingdom, this dominion, who has control over his desires and his emotions, this one will be حُر, he will be free. Whereas the king who is ruling but who has surrendered to his desires and his anger will be an abd. He will be an abd, a slave to his desires and to his anger. Yani al-malik, the king who has surrendered to his shahwa and his ghadab, he is an abd to his desires and to his anger. فَهُوَ مُسَخَّرٌ مَمْلُوكٌ فِي زِي مَالِكٌ يقوده زمام الشهوة والغضب كما يقاد البعير. So the king, and who is ruling over the people, the ruler, but who he has surrendered to his desires and to his emotions, he will be a slave to those desires and a slave to his anger and his emotions. For he will be subservient. He will be a slave in the outer adornments of a king. And he will be, yani, directed and controlled by the reins of desires and anger, just as the camel, yani, is led and controlled, yani, by the one who is riding. فالمغرور والمخدوع يقع نظره على الملك الظاهر الذي صورته ملك وباطنه رق. وعلى الشهوة التي أولها لذة وآخرها حسرة Yani the person who has been deceived by this world. As Allah mentions in the Quran, وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Yani the life of this world is no more than yani pleasures of deception. Enjoyments that are only a deception. فَالْمَغْرُورِ, the one who is deceived, and the مَخْدُورِ, the one who is deluded, his sight is focused on al-mulk al-zahir, yani the outer, the kingdom that he is seeing, the physical outer appearance, the outer trappings of a kingdom. That kingdom which suratuhu mulk wa batinuhu rik, yani its outer appearance is that of kingship, but its inner reality is slavery. He focuses his sight also on the shahwa, the desires, التي أولها لذة, yani the beginnings of engaging yani in these desires, the beginnings of it is pleasure, but the endings of it is only regret and remorse. والبصير, while the person who has sight, who can see, the muwaffaq, the one who Allah has given success to, yani to know what is pleasing to him and the ability to do it. The basir, al-basir, wal-muwaffaq, the one who sees and who has been given success by Allah, يُغَيِّرُ نَظَرَهُ مِنَ الْأَوَائِلِ إِلَى الْأَوَاخِرِ وَمِنَ الْمَبَادِ إِلَى الْأَوَاقِبِ. So he changes, turns his sight from just looking at the beginnings of things to looking at their endings. From just looking at the starting points of things to looking at how they will end up, yani the consequences. And this, yani looking at where it's going to end up at, what's going to be the end result, the consequence of it. He said, doing so, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the favor of Allah that He gives to whoever He wills. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And Allah is the one who possesses, who owns great bounties. As far as the commentary on this statement of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, so again, as we mentioned previously, there are two commentaries. One of them is in the English translation in the beginning of the book on page 42, or in the first part of the book, 42 and 43, and then the Arabic commentary, which is a little bit different, is on page 53, and we're going to look at both of them quickly as the time is approaching now upon us. So in the English translation on page 42, it says, the title of this ba'ith is Remember the Eternal Bliss of Paradise, meaning that a person should think about, reflect upon, and remind themselves that the eternal bliss, the perfect pleasure and joy and happiness is in paradise. It's not in this world. And therefore, if a person knows that, what they should be striving for is for that which is perfect and permanent, not for that which is imperfect and temporary. The 19th way of escaping sins, as mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, is for the servant, the abd, to know that Allah has created him for an eternal existence, which has no end, for honor and not humiliation, for tranquility and not fear, for riches and not poverty. And this is, yani this, what Allah has created him for, is in the hereafter. And Allah mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 112th ayat, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Yani there will be no fear upon them, nor would they grieve. There will be no fear upon them, nor would they grieve. This is what Allah has created us for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created him for that. Yani for a life in which there is no fear and no grief. However, he tests him in this world with things and scenarios that are likely to distract him, or distract many of the people, and distract him regarding the reality of true life, honor, affluence, real enjoyment, and other than that, from the blessings of the hereafter, which are unchanging and everlasting. And Allah has created us for a perfect life, but He has tested us in this world with an imperfect life. So reminding oneself of this, and reminding oneself of what exists in the afterlife, including the honor, the affluence, the enjoyment, the blessings, the safety, and other than this, and that these sins, the person's sins. And that's the point here, right? How to avoid sins. Realizing that it is these sins that they will detrimentally affect his ability to acquire those lofty and higher stations. This reality, knowing what will be the detrimental effect of sins in the attainment of the perfect life in the hereafter, this should cause him to strive hard to fight and combat against his own soul, so that he can succeed in acquiring the full enjoyment, bliss, tranquility, and goodness of the hereafter and its blessings. Sins have a definite impact upon the servant on the day when he meets Allah. And this is the main point. Reminding oneself of this, of what, the test of this world, and reminding oneself of what exists in the hereafter. This should cause the person to strive hard to fight against, his soul, to resist sinning, so that he can be successful in acquiring the perfect life that Allah has, for us in the next life. The Shaykh, he ends here with a point that is a point, that we should note and keep in mind, that sins have a definite impact upon the servant on the day when he meets Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is in opposition to the servant whom Allah has honored by protecting his faith and allowing him to pursue the pleasure of Allah such that he becomes from the people of paradise who enter the paradise on the day of judgment without any reckoning or punishment. Bila hisab wala azab. This is possible, that a person can enter paradise without giving account, without any reckoning, and without any punishment. As for anyone else who doesn't fit this description, then they are subject to the reckoning and susceptible to the punishment of Allah and entering the hellfire. However, if he was from the people of true faith but entered into the hellfire, he will not remain in the hellfire forever. Yet who wants to be in the hellfire at all? This is because eternity in the hellfire forever is specifically for the disbelievers. But the person of true faith, by way of his own disobedience and sins, places himself in serious danger and subjects himself to the like of this while in the grave, during the resurrection, and on the day when he meets his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the commentary of the Shaykh in the published edition of this matter, he divides it into three paragraphs, and each of those paragraphs are the three elements of this point. And the three elements of this 19th Ba'ath are contained in number one, the fact that Allah has created us for something better than this world. Number two, that He has tested us in this world with that which is imperfect that people are distracted by. And number three, if a person knows this, what should they do? If a person knows this, what should they do? The Shaykh says, Al-Amr al-Tasi Ashara. Naam. And he summarizes this point in a few words. Al-Na'imu wal-Izzu al-Haqiqiyu fi dar al-Baqa. The real, true bliss and honor is in the eternal life, in the next world. Person has to focus on this reality. First point, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ خَلَقَ لِلْعِبَادِ بَقَاءً لَا فَنَاءَ بَعْدَهُ وَإِزًّا لَا ذُلَّ فِيهِ وَغِنًا لَا فَقْرَ مَعْهُ وَأَمْنًا لَا خَوْفَ بَعْدَهُ وَذَلِكَ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. That indeed Allah has created for His worshippers a life or an existence that has no ending, an honor which doesn't entail any disgrace, and richness and affluence that doesn't include poverty, and security without any fear. And this will be in the gardens of Naim, the gardens of bliss. And this is as Allah the Most High said in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 34th and 35th Ayat, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ. They will say, the praise belongs to Allah, who has removed from us sadness or grief and sorrow. إِنَّ رَبَّنَا لَغَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Indeed, our Rabb, He is forgiving and He appreciates. الَّذِي أَحَلَّنَا دَارَ الْمُقَامَةِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَا يَمَسُّنَا فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَلَا يَمَسُّنَا فِيهَا لُغُوبٌ. Allah, the one who has placed us in a place of yani permanence from by his favor, in which we will not be touched by fatigue or toil, and we will not be touched by weariness. This is what Allah has prepared for those who believe and do good deeds. Second point, ولكن الله عز وجل امتحنه في هذه الدار بمتع فانية ولذات منغصة وملك زائل. But Allah has tested us in this world with some temporary pleasures and some delights that are spoiled, that are polluted, and يعني a kingdom that is short-lived. فَإِنْ هُوَ صَبْرَ عَنْهَا وَاجْتَنَبَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْهَا أَعْقَبَهُ اللَّهُ بِالنَّعِيمِ الْحَقِيقِي وَاللَّذَّةِ الدَّائِمَةِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. But if a person is patient with these things that Allah has tested us with in this world, if he is patient with it, and he avoids what Allah has made haram from these things, meaning that if a person is patient, does not pursue even those things that might be permissible, but he doesn't become engrossed in seeking those things. He's patient with those things. And he avoids those things that Allah has made haram completely. Then Allah will give him after that, yani, a real, true, yani, life of bliss, of happiness and joy, and delights that are unending in the Akhirah. And this is as Allah the Most High says, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ عَطَاءً غَيْرَ مَجْذُوذٍ. And as far as those who will be fortunate, they will be in paradise, remaining in it forever, as long as the heavens and the earth exist, except as your Rabb wills. Ata'an ghayra majdhuv. Yani, this is a gift from Allah that will never be cut off. That is unending. And finally, the Shaykh says in the last point of this matter, and the final paragraph, he says, فالعبد المؤمن إذا استحضر في نفسه هذا النعيم المقيم وعلم أن لذة المعاصي الزائلة سبب لحرمانه من هذه المقامات العالية جاهد نفسه على مقاومتها واجتنابها لينال الحناءة والسعادة الدائمة. So the abd, the believing worshipper of Allah, if he calls to mind within himself, he brings to his attention and reminds himself and acknowledges and recognizes and focuses upon this permanent bliss that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers in the next life. And he knows that the temporary, transitory, short-lived pleasure of disobedience will be a cause of him being deprived from these high stations of permanent joy and happiness in the next life. Then he will strive against himself. جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ. He will strive against his nafs to resist and to avoid, yani, engaging in those, yani, pleasures that are in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will strive to resist those things and to avoid those things so that he may attain the enjoyment and the happiness that is unending, that is permanent. And if a person knows that Allah has prepared for us something that is permanent and perfect, then this will enable them to strive and resist from being consumed and distracted by those things that are, yani, imperfect and temporary. So this is the point here, that if a person knows that engaging in those pleasures or those joys that are temporary and that are, yani, due to a person engaging in disobedience to Allah, and that this disobedience to Allah will be the cause of them being deprived of what Allah has for us in the next life, then this will be the, yani, the thing that would push a person and motivate a person to resist and to avoid engaging in those things so that they would attain the pleasure and the joy that is permanent in the next life. Now, any questions or any comments we'll take, inshallah, after the salat. Any imam? Yeah.
I know you put the email, but don't get the time changing next week, inshallah.
Yes. Sunday, this coming Sunday, the time will be changing. For those who are in these time change zones, the time will be going back. So on Sunday night, before Fajr, at some point, person should change the clock, turn the clocks back, which means that we're going to be praying Isha 1 hour earlier. And therefore, the Maghrib will be too early for the class, so the class will be after Isha. But Isha will be 1 hour earlier. So those who are not in time change zones, then it doesn't make that much difference. But those of us who are unfortunate to be in this place where they're doing this, then we have to turn our clocks back, and the class will be after Isha. And the time will be pretty much the same, but it will be after Salatul Isha. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Mubarakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khaira. And I'm sorry, I have to take one more minute. Please pardon me. I want to remind us of the importance of recognizing the reality of this world, and part of that reality is reminding ourselves, in spite of hardships and difficulties and trials and tribulations and oppression and murder and slaughter that's taking place in the world, in Palestine and in other places where Muslims are being subjected to a horrible situation, let us not forget. And I recommend that whoever is able should listen, should try to get I guess it will be posted, Imam, the khutbah that Imam Hanif gave today. Not in this masjid, but that khutbah, he talked about it in the end of the khutbah, what I would like to say, but not having the time to repeat what he said. What is important is that we recognize that how we understand the realities of what is happening around us is not by what the kafirs write in the newspaper. But the realities of what is happening around us should be understood by what Allah has informed us of in the Quran. And from amongst those realities is that Allah is in control of everything. Absolutely. Totally. And no soul, will leave this world. No person will die except by the permission of Allah, except by the decree of Allah. Nobody has control over life and death except Allah. And we have to recognize this and understand that whatever Allah has decreed, is what is best. And we should have patience and be pleased with what Allah has decreed. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do anything about the conditions around us, but most importantly, we have to attach our hearts to Allah, who is the one who controls everything. And therefore we should call upon Allah. Whatever we do, that we have the means to do, that Allah has allowed us to do, within the bounds of what is lawful to do. With that, most importantly, we should be making dua to Allah, who controls everything. Naam. As-salamu alaykum.